That was the Vancouver Chamber Choir with Vision Chant by Andrew Balfour on the new Classical FM. This is Sunday Night at the TSO. I'm Kathleen Kajioka. Andrew Balfour is the current composer for the TSO's Art of Healing program, a partnership with CAMH, the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, that combines the power of music with Indigenous healing practices. He'll be working with CAMH patients who come from First Nations communities across Canada to compose a unique piece of music that will premiere with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra next season. It's the second year of this innovative and thoughtful program. Last year, Ian Cusin was the Art of Healing composer, and the piece he wrote, Ikiru, will premiere this coming Thursday at Roy Thompson Hall. Ian joins us here in studio tonight. Ian Cusin, welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thank you so much for having me.
I feel like you've been here before. I was about to say welcome back, but I think it's your first time on this program, isn't it?
On this program, yes.
Well, welcome back to the new Classical FM.
Well, thank you very much. So
tell us about the Art of Healing program with the TSO and CAMH.
This is a really exciting partnership between the TSO and CAMH, and particularly Shikabe Makwa Center at CAMH. And it was really an opportunity for two big organizations to come together to think about healing from a more holistic perspective and using music as a kind of bridging space for folks. And so it was a several week long series of sessions where participants in the CAMH community, several of whom were Indigenous folks, were able to sort of meet under a series of Indigenous principles, and we discovered music and joy of life together. And this all culminated in a work that was created through that program.
That is a really great nutshell description, which holds so many details that I'm interested in. One being, for you as a trained, seasoned composer coming into this particular environment, probably quite different from what you normally work with. What was that like?
It was really quite transformative. I was actually not expecting it to be as personally profound as it actually was. What we created in the space of these 8 hour-and-a-half-long sessions was something like a little, kind of like a little family or a little community, where people were opening up about, all the wonderful things of life, not necessarily their diagnoses or their struggles, but rather just who they were as people and the things that excited them and that they loved about life. And on that kind of entry place, we were able to connect and then really talk about how music informs our own healings, our own journeys, our own lives.
I'm interested in how the environment was to begin with, because these are people in a vulnerable situation. What was trust like and trust building in this program?
Well, this is one of the great things about the architecture of this particular program. It took into consideration the ethical and the clinical kind of realities, and that's where CAMH really created a great structure and a support so that there could be a sense of openness, but also the clarity that this wasn't meant to be therapy. It wasn't essentially a group session that is a particular therapy model that might be offered through CAMH, but rather to hopefully have therapeutic value. And again, one of the interesting really pieces that came out of this was in reflection and talking with participants was that it was nice to enter a space that had been familiar to them in terms of healing and their own particular journeys, but doing so without having their diagnoses at the fore and the front. That was sort of tangential and sometimes was never even referenced.
So when it comes to making music in this project, how did you generate the material that you then end up working with to write a composition?
Well, this is where it was so wonderful having a couple of players from the TSO that were a part of that group. So they were there present every week and participating just like any of us were in this circle. One of the really important values was to create an equality in the space so that there wasn't a kind of hierarchy or a head of the room. There were facilitators. I was helping to facilitate, but I consider myself just as much a participant as any of the folks in that circle. And what we did is we explored music through breaking it down into sort of constituent parts, the sort of parts that we would normally think of in music: melody, rhythm, harmony, texture, timbre, density. We talked about things like that. We played a ton of examples. We reflected on the music that we listened to. We also shared our favorite musics. And that was, we had Joni Mitchell, we had Janis Joplin, we had Palestrina. We listened to sort of everything, and people just brought what they'd heard or they'd referenced or what had been important to them. And from that, we sort of developed a sound world, sounds that we made through some instruments that were in the room as well. Pulling all of those pieces together, I guess you could say stitched together a work or created a work that hopefully captured something of the dynamic of the group and the dynamic of the room.
So what was the outcome of this collaboration, and how do you see it reflecting the whole person care model?
You know, we, of course, we're talking always about creating a piece of music that could come out of this and that we could present and hear and share, and of, those are wonderful outcomes of this project. I think the real value lay in a group of individuals who came together from very disparate worlds and communities in many ways and shared some very profound moments of joy together. And I think that's something that I certainly feel like I don't experience a lot often in even in the music world or in contemporary music or just in society at large, to have moments of unfettered joy together. And what was very important to me in then stepping away from that, those group sessions and synthesizing materials and ideas that we'd come up with and that we discussed together, was to somehow reflect something of the beauty of the joy of living. And that hopefully sits at the core of this work that emerged from those times.
So you have already presented a chamber version of this work, and coming up is the premiere with the TSO of,
yes,
the orchestral version. When you work on the orchestral version, are you translating it into the larger orchestra, or what is your focus or priority there?
Well, this was a really unique situation, and actually I wasn't sure exactly how to go about doing this, because the commission was twofold. It was really to write a chamber piece at a certain length and then to write a longer, more elaborated orchestral version. And I thought, how does one recast or reconceive of materials that you've already created into an existing and cohesive work? And it was just a really great opportunity to jump into this piece and to pull it apart and to explore sections of the work in more detail and with a different lens. Again, the great thing about writing for a huge orchestra like the TSO is that you have so many colors available to you. You have so many sounds. You can recast an idea that might have been played by a couple of players with 40 players and achieve different balances and different sounds. So that was the joy for me, is really kind of finding a language for this piece of music in that wider context.
For you, how do you think you will hold this work amongst all the composition, all the writing that you've done over the years? I mean, this is quite a unique circumstance.
You know, it's a unique circumstance not only because of how profound those sessions were, and I have to emphasize how rare that is in my own life, but the other piece that exists with this and that really creates a special space in my heart for this work that emerged was that my mother had a terminal diagnosis during the whole gestation of this and passed away just days after the program ended. And I was very clear with the participants that I had experienced a degree of healing and a way of processing this illness and the loss of my mother through our times together. And the piece I've dedicated to her, and you know, it's called Ikiru, which means to live, sort of an inspiration from the Akira Kurosawa film. And the idea is, what does it mean to look at life, and what does it mean to look at one's end in the face of life? And so joy to me seemed the sort of perfect summation of a life well lived, but also a summation of the time spent in this group with these wonderful human beings.
Ian Cusin, we really look forward to hearing the full orchestral version of your work, and thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
That was composer Ian Cusin. Ikiru for full orchestra can be heard this week off the top of the TSO's Mendelssohn's Violin Program, with four chances to hear it from June 6th through 9th. For tickets and information, go to tso.ca. Let's sample a bit of Ian's work for the more intimate setting of violin and piano. This is The Garden of Earthly Delights.